Welcome to Shattering This. I am your host, Yada, and it is my pleasure to welcome today IQ Al-Rasuli, who is the foremost expert on the religion of Islam. IQ is the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam, knows the religion better than any person alive. IQ, I would like to play in five segments a video report from CNN that is about the slave markets that have been held by the Islamic State of Yazidi girls. And I'd like you to comment on it. And it's the rhetoric is in Arabic. I want to make sure that it is being translated and communicated effectively. Scott, would you mind playing the first of those clips? And then, IQ, I'd love for you to comment.
The ruthlessness of ISIS's tactics is ever-present. Beheadings, mass murder. But their inhumanity is felt not only by those who have been killed, but also by those who survive and end up in ISIS's hands. This recent video posted to social media sites purports to show a group of ISIS fighters joking, or maybe not joking, about the buying and selling of Yazidi women and girls. CNN cannot verify the authenticity of this disturbing video.
IQ, is it possible that a group of people could actually be laughing about the enslavement and forced sexual servitude of little girls?
Yes, of course it's possible. Under Islam, everything depraved is possible. Everything. And they are. The CNN said it cannot verify. That's bullcrap.
Yeah.
They are doing exactly what they have been told to do by Muhammad.
As a matter of fact, as I understand it, they're actually taking these Yazidi little girls, some as young as 6, 7 years old, stripping them naked, putting signs around their neck that advertise their price, and they're selling them in public display in the marketplaces as nothing other than sex slaves, as little girls to purchase and abuse.
But that's not strange. Throughout 1400 years of Islamic history, hundreds of thousands of women from Western Europe were sold exactly the same way. Exactly. Grown-ups. I'm not talking about just little girls. In exactly the same way. They were stripped naked and the price was paid, was put on them. That's nothing strange. This is Islam. This is Muhammadan Islam.
Yes, Scott, could you play the second clip here? They're speaking in Arabic. I'm going to attempt to translate it, but you, IQ, please correct it if I have misspoken. In summary,
sounds like a bidding contest.
Yeah, whoever wants to buy or sell today is female sex slaves day for whoever wants to buy and sell them. Each one is free to take whoever share he wants. Where is then a guy comes up, where is my Yazidi girl? And the answer is the price depends. If she has blue eyes, it'll be different. It's all about positioning these girls. And it's the scene was 7 or 8 Islamic jihadists, all part of the Islamic State, with their AK-47s by their side, talking to a group of men who have come up that want to participate in the auction. And did I do a reasonable job of translating what they were talking about, laughing, giggling about the idea of buying and selling little girls as sex slaves?
I'm not even watching the place. And I'm getting a second-hand type of recording.
Okay.
And I came to exactly the conclusion I'm talking about.
Yes.
They are bidding to sell and buy slaves.
Yes.
But they've been doing that for 1,400 years. In Iraq, they've been doing it before ISIS. By the way, the girls who, the women and the families who escaped from Syria and went to Jordan, they had to sell their girls to keep themselves alive.
Right.
And Saudi men and Qatari men and Kuwaiti men went to Jordan to do exactly the buying.
Right.
Why is everybody shocked all of a sudden? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's amazing that in this particular case throughout Syria, even the parents of Muslim girls orchestrated the sale of their daughters for two reasons. One of the reasons is rather than being taken from them, they could make a buck on their daughters. And second of all, it got them away from the Islamic State or al-Nusra, and they had a likelihood of being purchased as sex slaves by more well-to-do individuals. Now, the problem with that, beyond the fact that girls, daughters, ought not be sold as slaves by their parents, is the fact that everything we read and see about the Saudi Arabian royal family is there's no more sadistic, despicable people on earth.
I agree. But the shocking part is not you and I. The shocking part is 99% of humanity who are not willing to listen. I mean, literally, they're not willing to listen. Cameron, the Prime Minister of England, was in Australia. Both he and the Prime Minister of Australia talked garbage. They were talking about Islam as a peaceful religion. I mean, these are the leaders of two nations. How can you blame the people?
Yeah. What I'm trying to do, and I really have a bugaboo on this, is I want listeners to open their eyes, to open their ears, to open their minds, and to confront the ugliest horrors of Islam. And it's only if you're willing to look at this kind of horror, selling little girls as sex slaves, bidding for them naked with price tags around their necks, that you're able to see how horrible this religion is. Because there are no better Muslims on the planet than the members of the Islamic State or Boko Haram, which is doing exactly the same thing. And this is not an abstract. This is not something that these guys dug up on their own, that is their own interpretation, that some kind of a corruption of the religion. Because the Quran and Hadith depict Muhammad and the first Muslims doing this very thing.
You know what is more obscene than these people? I tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
Both in America and now in Europe, especially in England, they are inviting top-level churches, are inviting imams, the most despicable bipedals on the planet Earth, to give a sermon in cathedrals.
Yeah.
Good God, what's left?
Yeah. What's left? I want to play the next segment of this, Scott, if you wouldn't mind. It's about 30 seconds long. The person doing the speaking is Letta Taylor. She is from Human Rights Watch. She is trying to present the horror, but she can't do it because of political correctness. So she is pussyfooting around this, but she is essentially talking about the Muslims inspecting the merchandise, and the merchandise being the girls being presented as sex slaves. Scott, if you could play the third segment, please.
These men refer to one woman's teeth, for example. Let's check her teeth before we buy her. Another comes in and makes a comment that your Yazidi woman is dead. Now, it's not clear if this is a joke. It's not clear if there really is a Yazidi woman in another place or another room who's been killed. These are shocking, shocking conversations. And whether the actual sale took place on that particular day or not, it shows just how far this group will go.
Yeah, the group is Islam. The group isn't the Islamic State. The group isn't Boko Haram. The group is Islam. This is what Muslims have done for decades. In Sharia law, Muslims have the right to buy and sell little girls as sex slaves. Muhammad himself raped the victims that his militants went in and terrorized. They're surviving women. Muhammad got first pick as to who to rape. And they routinely enslaved little girls. They also enslave little boys, and they use them as sex toys, too. That's why that speaker said this is a female sex slave day. Because there will also be male sex slave day.
Correct.
This is a really twisted religion.
Well, I don't know why you keep calling it a religion. I find that very obscene. I know you disagree with any religion. Yeah. I agree with you, maybe. But to call Islam a religion, this is an obscenity compared to the other belief systems. It's a cult belief system. It's a cult of Muhammad. All they are doing, literally, not what Allah commanded them, what Muhammad did and what Muhammad commanded them. After all, Allah never commanded anything. Allah is Muhammad. The Quran is Muhammad. Gabriel is Muhammad. Yeah. That's why it's a cult belief system. Not a religion.
Yeah, so are all religions, though. Christianity is the cult of Paul. Islam is the cult of Muhammad. Buddhism is the cult of Buddha. They're all cults. The issue really is that while Christianity for a thousand years was the most despicable, destructive, and deadly religion on planet Earth, it no longer is. The power of the Roman Catholic Church to impose torturous tyranny on the masses has ended. And now, by far, overwhelmingly, the most deadly and destructive religion on earth is Islam. I would agree that if you were to compare Islam today to, for example, Christianity, you would say that, well, that comparison is unfair to Christianity because Islam is infinitely worse. And today, for the last 100 years or so, you'd be absolutely right. Islam took a really nasty turn twice in its history. One was when it was created by Muhammad, and for the first 100 years of the Islamic era, Islam was the most perverted, deadly, and destructive curse mankind had ever invented. And then Islam had periods where it was ruthless thereafter. But it really didn't become the terrorist religion that we see today prior to OPEC being able to fund Muslims, to be able to indoctrinate Muslims and mosques throughout the world. And in the last 50 years or so, Islam has been reformed, has gone right back to its roots, and now is once again savage. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with IQ Al Rasuli. Scott, if you could play the next segment of this video. The imagery, which is in the background, is of girls, some as young as 6 years old. Everyone is crying. There isn't a single girl photographed in this video who doesn't have makeshift bandages on their head. They have all been bludgeoned on the head. They all have blood streaking down their head. They're all crying. So these are the girls about to be auctioned off who have been beaten into submission. Scott?
The Yazidi, a religious minority, have long been marginalized and are a frequent target of ISIS fighters. Women and girls are among the most vulnerable. They are kidnapped by ISIS for many reasons, sometimes for no reason at all.
We have heard story after story of women and girls being sold for all kinds of atrocious reasons. We heard stories of sexual slavery. We heard stories of forced marriage. We heard stories of sexual violence and of forced religious conversion. Many of the victims were children.
All right, before we get into that text, I want to clear up a mistake that the journalist made. The Islamic State has not been around for a long time. So the mistreatment of Yazidi, the women, the Yazidi community, who are Zoroastrians, could not have been perpetrated by the Islamic State for a long time. It has been perpetrated by Islam for a long time. The Zoroastrian religion was the dominant religion of Persia before the onslaught of Islam, and ever since Islam began to attack Persia, it has demonized the Zoroastrians. It has been for a long time, but for thousands of years before certainly 1,400 years before the Islamic State was conceived. What do you think about the rest of it, IQ?
Well, it's sickening. I mean, the woman herself is in shock, but she's not willing to associate or connect the dots.
Right.
She's not willing to say it is Islam. Nobody is willing to say it is Islam. And yet the elephant is filling the room.
Correct. It's only Islam. This sect has been treated this way, and Muslims have been selling little girls as sex slaves since Islam was created, beginning with Muhammad himself 1,400 years ago. Nothing has changed. There is no different interpretation of Islam, no different manifestation of Islam. This is Islamic behavior following the only example that Muslims have, the most perverted man who ever lived, Muhammad.
Yeah, but we have a greater enemy. We have an enemy within.
Yes,
we have the academia. We have the media. We have our politicians. And we have our clergy denying this in public.
Yeah. Scott, could you play the last could you play the last clip? This is one of the little girls. And then this little girl is not given the opportunity to say much on this video, but the same little girl did speak to a CNN columnist, and I have her her specific account of what happened to her.
One escaped Yazidi girl sat down with CNN's Ivan Watson. They came to the room and looked around at the girls, and if they liked one, they chose her and took her. If the girls cried and didn't want to leave, they beat the girl. The guy who chose me was 70 years old.
The girls who escaped face a very long road to recovery, and the world is faced with a brutality that must be stopped. Linda Kincaid, CNN.
IQ, the 70-year-old Muslim man who bought this girl who was 19 years old as a sex slave, he's not a jihadist. He's not a radical. He's not an extremist. Yeah.
He's a Muslim.
He's just a Muslim.
That's it. That's enough.
Yep. In fact, the Saudi Arabians and the Jordanians, the Turks who bought sex slaves at these auctions, they're not extremists. They're not radicals. They're just Muslims. That's the nature of this religion. Let me tell you what this little girl actually endured and what she said. She's 19 years old. Looks younger than that. When ISIS appeared at her village, they immediately separated the boys and girls. The anybody over the age of 10 was murdered and decapitated. That would be hundreds of them in this particular village. They were decapitated, murdered in that fashion. Every man and boy over the age of 10. The boys under the age of 10 were hauled off as sex slaves. All of the women who were attractive enough to sell as sex slaves, young enough to sell as sex slaves, some as young as 6 years old, were then marketed and hauled off to Mosul, the second largest city in Iraq. And that's where they were sold. We'll be back. This particular girl is one of about 5,000 from one community in Iraq. She tells the story of how every male older than 10 years old were taken to a place just outside of town in pickup trucks where they were either shot or decapitated, including this girl's father and her brother. The women were separated. Older women were whisked off as servants. And the younger women were examined to be sex slaves. She said that the first day that she was endured this, that men would come periodically. They would, you know, the prettiest girls always got picked first, and that these jihadists would just go and grab them, you know, by collared necks, you know, neck collars, and say, I'm going to take this one, and this one. And sometimes they would come back, and sometimes they wouldn't. And she talked about the man that took her initially, who was 70 years old, asked what she would like to see done to him, and he said, if I ever see him, I'd kill him. And she said, all of the women were treated like cattle. He says, we were all subjected to physical and sexual violence, rape. And we were essentially sex slaves. And the markets were in the center of Mosul, which is the second largest city in Iraq and in Raqqa, Syria. And they were all stripped naked, and they carried price tags around their neck. And that there were, depending on which research team you consider, there were between 2,500 of them and 4,600. You know, there's 250 from Boko Haram is the tip of the iceberg. 2,500 to 4,600 female sex slaves. Why does the world tolerate this religion?
Well, forget about the world. Obama tolerates it. The Catholic Church tolerates it. Every single Christian denomination in Europe and America are tolerating it.
Yeah, every media outlet. Sorry. As a matter of fact, they're speaking in favor of it. Media outlets are speaking in favor of it. Universities, they're all lying on behalf of it.
Yeah. So, you know, denial does not solve the problem. Denial does not make the problem go away. Denial does not give us peace of mind, which is what we're really seeking. Denial is a liar. It compounds the problem because it keeps us from seeing a solution and taking action to resolve it.
In America, if you cover up evidence of a crime, if you do anything that shields the perpetrator of a violent crime, of rape, of kidnapping, of the slave trade, of murder, of torture, if you shield in any way the perpetrator of a crime, in America, you are guilty of committing that crime. And that means that every cleric, every politician, everybody in the military, everyone in the media, every academician in America who speaks in favor of Islam is guilty of rape, torture, slave trade.
Mass murder.
Yeah, the same rules apply to Islam that apply to any other perpetrator of these kinds of hideous crimes, then they're all guilty.
You know the irony? After Nuremberg, they said there is no excuse for a repetition of what Hitler did. Really? We are in the 21st century, and they're doing exactly the same and worse than what Hitler did.
And worse. You know, it's so sad that in Syria, for example, the Assad regime is doing exactly what Hitler did. I mean, there are some 50,000 photographs of men's and women's bodies emaciated and tortured before they were killed, just like the Holocaust. And all photographed, all documented, 50,000 of these photographs. Now, that's a far cry from killing 12 million in concentration camps. But there's 50,000 photographs. There's probably an average of 10 to 20 people per photograph. And that's the Assad regime, which is the better of the two evils in Syria. Those that are fighting to oust him are worse.
And they're Obama the ones that are supporting the ones who want to oust him. Obama is supporting the ones who want to oust him.
Yes. Well, we're both bombing the ones that want to oust him while we're trying to put together a coalition of moderate rebels. So, IQ, I want to go over this with you. Since the Obama administration's two top leaders on this admitted in the media yesterday that Obama is rethinking his Islamic State strategy. He's realized that what they're doing is not working, and he's looking for a new strategy. Pretty stupid. You declare war, and then you figure out how you're going to fight that war. And the key to that strategy is ousting Assad. And he wants to tackle the Islamic State by coming up with a plan to simultaneously oust Assad by putting together a coalition of moderates. So I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard of a moderate militant?
The minute somebody speaks about a moderate militant in Islam, you slap him on the face because he's a stupid person.
Forget about a moderate Muslim, which we know the Ninth Surah forbids Muslims to be peaceful. Just juxtapose the idea of moderate and militant. How about a restrained rebel? Have you ever heard of a revolutionary who wasn't a radical?
Well, I never heard of a Nazi who was not a radical. I never heard of a Nazi who was not militant. I never heard of a Nazi who was not extremist or a moderate.
Is there such thing as a peaceful combatant?
They can't be. That's why they combat.
Right. How about a benign belligerent?
I don't know. Ask Obama. He will figure it out.
A passive warrior? A non-violent militia?
Yeah.
How about a military imposing a political coup where the military goes in and ousts a dictator and says, oh, by the way, we don't want to rule? How about a non-religious activist fighting in a religious civil war? Which side would the non-religious activist take in a religious civil war? How about a non-extremist insurgent? How about a non-Islamic army in an Islamic country?
All of them are oxymorons.
Of course. How about a just and judicious jihadist?
Wow, that would be nice.
Yeah, how about a moderate mujahideen?
Well, they are now. They are the ones who are taking care of those girls. They're very moderate.
Oh, yes.
And
how about a Muslim fighting for freedom?
Wow.
When Islam means submission.
Obama.
You know, I want to go through Syria. You know, probably know Syria better than I do, the demographics better than I do, but I want to isolate those that could and could not be aroused, trained and equipped to fight the Islamic State and to fight against the Assad regime. 13 to 21%. I'm using ranges because no one knows, really. No one knows. You know, there is no free press. There's no science in an Islamic country. So no one really knows here. So I'm going to have to use the ranges. 13 to 21% of Syrians are Shia Muslims. They're either Alawite Twelvers or they're Ismaili Shia Muslims. About 13 to 21%. I use like 15-16%. Now, all of the Shiite Muslims, without exception, are aligned with and many are fighting for Assad, either as part of the Syrian army or Hezbollah. Is there any chance you're going to get a Shia Muslim to fight against Assad?
No chance.
None.
Zero.
Right? Zero. Because should Assad be exiled and should the Sunnis take over that country, even if there's a vote and the Sunnis take over the country, what's going to happen to the Shia?
Exterminated.
That's correct. So there isn't a single Shia Muslim that would volunteer to join a free Syrian army against Assad. Not one. So you better eliminate that 21%.
Yeah, no, but I've got to add to this.
Yes.
They will murder the ones over 10 years old who are male, and
yes,
they will rape and enslave and sell to those who are female.
Right. Yeah, so it's worse than just being annihilated.
Correct.
There's between 1 and 3% of Syrians are Sufis. Now, Sufi is a pacifist, mystic Muslim. They're a Muslim that doesn't pay any attention to the Quran. They ignore almost all of the Hadith. They're in la-la land as it relates to Islam. They represent a tiny fraction of 1% of Muslims worldwide. But because Assad ran cover for them, the majority of Sufi Muslims actually live in Syria. They're protected by Assad. They're non-combatants. They're all into mysticism and spiritualism. But they all universally back Assad because the Sunnis fighting against Assad consider them to be infidels and apostates.
Correct.
All right. Now you've got 4 to 6% of Syrians that are Druze. The Druze religion is a combination between Greek Gnosticism and Shia Islam. That group, 4 to 6%, also support Assad because the Sunnis combating Assad can consider the Druze to be devil worshippers.
Correct.
All right? So you're not going to get any of them to go against Assad.
No.
10 to 15% of Syrians were Christians, but that number has been decimated. They were all non-combatants when they lived in Syria. They were all united in their support for the Assad regime. And they were so because they knew that if Assad were to be killed or taken out of power, they were as good as dead. Now, most of them are gone.
That's what's happening now. That's what's happening now.
Right. All right. The next group is you have in the Sunni camp, of which 56 to 66% of Syrians are Arab Sunni Muslims. That is the one group that you could recruit to oppose Assad. But of those that are still alive and are fundamentalists, all of the fundamentalists are aligned either with Nusra or the Islamic State. So you'd have to find a non-fundamentalist Arab Sunni Muslim from that 50 to 60%. Now, when we return,
zero probability.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that. We'll also talk about the 8 to 10% of Syrians who are Kurdish Sunni Muslims and whether or not they would go against Assad. I think the answer is no. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're trying to help the Abominator do some math in terms of finding the free Syrian army fighters. So, IQ, if you could go through with me and just verify my understanding here, let me know if I'm on track. If a Syrian is a Shia Muslim, a Druze, or a Kurdish Muslim, which represent 30% of Syrians, there is no chance that they're going to go against the Assad regime. Isn't it true that the freest Kurds in the world live in Syria? That they're oppressed in Turkey, Iraq, and Iran?
Correct. Yes.
All right. So there's no way that a Syrian Shia, Sufi, Druze, or Kurdish Muslim is going to join a militia to oppose Assad. Now, if you were a Syrian Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, or let's pretend there's actually Jews in Syria, representing collectively about 2% of the population, are you going to oppose Assad?
No chance.
None. If you're a Syrian and you're agnostic or atheist or you're more political than religious, would you combat Assad?
No.
Not for it, right? Zero probability, because you'd be dead. So that's 35% of the population, that there is no chance whatsoever that they would attack Assad, because they know that if Assad were to die, they're dead. He's all that's keeping them alive.
Correct.
All right. We know from every poll and every vote that's been taken in a majority Islamic country that 75% of Muslims now are fundamentalist, and thus they're opposed to un-Islamic governments. No more than one quarter of Muslims are of fighting age, of the age that America would actually be willing to train and equip as part of a militia. Only one half of the Muslim population, the Sunni Muslim population of Syria, are male. 25% of those Sunni Muslims are non-fundamentalists. If the polls are right and apply to Syria as they do to every other Islamic country. And 50% of the Sunnis in in Syria are Arabs, and therefore could be convinced to fight against Assad. So the potential moderates of that could be enticed to fight Assad is 17 million. The population of Syria has gone from 22 million to 17 million here in the last 3 years. Times 50%, times 25%, times 25%, times 50%, using that math, which gives you a pool of 250,000. But I would be willing to wager that only a quarter of that number of potential moderates, if there is such a thing, would be willing to risk their lives to become militants fighting Mujahideen. So the potential pool of anti-Assad and anti-Islamic fighters dwindles to about 60,000. But even if you take that 60,000, the preponderance of those who have been educated and employed in and around Damascus, which would be the majority of them, there is no chance that they're going to fight Assad either, is there?
No.
Assad is their beneficiary. So it means that you might have some 3,000 to 5,000 people that could potentially be willing to risk their lives to be trained and equipped by America to fight Assad. And they're going to be pitted against 200,000 better-equipped and trained warriors in Assad's army and air force, 15,000 Hezbollah mujahideen, 20,000 Nusra-affiliated jihadists, and 40,000 Islamic State jihadists. How many hours or days do you think that a force of 5,000 pro-American so-called moderates would survive?
Maximum one day.
Yeah, would they survive their first battle?
I said one day.
Yeah. One day. So America wants to spend $1 billion to find, vet, and train these of people, which there's a maximum pool of 3,000 to 5,000 of them, and they wouldn't last a day, would they?
No. Obama is delusional. People are forgetting. Russia will intervene. He is delusional. He is a narcissist. He's exactly like, he's a replica of Muhammad, by the way. He is a pathological narcissist.
Yes.
And all
a
the
pathological liar.
Nine characteristics of pathological narcissism exist in Obama.
Yes. And what's sad here, though, is that the Republicans in Congress have all signed off on this idea of finding, vetting, training, and equipping 3,000 to 5,000 anti-Assad, anti-Islamic fighters. It's ludicrous.
Exist. They do not exist only in their imagination.
Correct. Thank you, IQ.